may be seated. Tonight we continue the sermon series from John. We'll start again at verse 15. John chapter 14, starting with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you, or will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Pray with me. Our God, help us now to earnestly seek your face. Without your Spirit working in us, we would each just turn away now and go our own direction. But God, direct us by your Spirit, and we will continue to turn our mind away from the things of this world, the things from the rest of the week, and we would turn and seek your face. That we would answer your call. We would say, and you are our God. So help us now to know you completely, that you would be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we were looking at the idea that the Holy Spirit is a gift that has been given to you. And there is nothing more precious. There's nothing more sweet that you could be given. And a part of this sweetness, as we look at in our first move, is the reality that the Holy Spirit in you is actually Jesus in you. The beauty and the splendor of Jesus is something that we are not able to fully comprehend now. And the day when we travel to heaven and we see Christ Jesus and we see his face, we see him at the throne of God, be the first time that your heart's completely bowed. Up to this point in our lives, we've held on to things. We've held on to different things in our lives. But on that day, when we look and we see him completely as you see him as he truly is, on that day when he is revealed in such a way where every knee bows, your heart, for the first time, will truly see the face of God. Your heart will truly know the face of God. And that light will shine into you with such a splendor that every shadow will be burned away. But you and I are put in the place now in our lives where that beauty and that holiness resides in you. And the effect that that has on the Christian life, the effect that that has on your life when you realize that truth and the extent of that is an awe and it is a gratefulness. Verses 19 and 20. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Can you imagine being at the place where a sin is offered to you? And when that sin is offered to you, you think, the fullness of God dwells in me. And you would still continue to sin. That you would still want to embrace that crime, and you still would embrace that crime. Paul makes this argument in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 and 16. He speaks in terms of sin being adultery. We may not think in those terms, where we can easily embrace our gluttony, and we wouldn't think of it as horrible as adultery. We can gossip, and we don't think of it as horrible as adultery. We can have hearts of discontent, and we don't think of those things as horrible as adultery. But God, in the book of Hosea, He compares all of our sins to adultery. And here, Paul makes this argument in 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 16. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? That's a limb of Christ. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? He's describing sin this way. May it never be, he answers. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. And he goes on with this argument, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are, that's you and I, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, when we wear Christ Jesus, we see that there is a particular behavior that's appropriate when we wear Christ Jesus. When we have Him on, and when we have Him in us, I am in you and you are in me. It was just this morning that I looked at my lovely daughter and I said, you may not crawl across the floor in your church clothes. There are simply things that are inappropriate depending upon what we are wearing. Well, if you're wearing Christ Jesus, what then is appropriate? If you're wearing Christ Jesus, what then is right? If you're wearing Christ Jesus, if His Spirit does indeed abide in you, how does that then cause you to walk? How does that then cause you to live? How does that then cause you to speak? It's beautiful to think that the one who abides in you, Christ Jesus, is the one who knew no sin. No sin. And so, would we then, or can we then, soil ourselves when we have the reality of the one who knew no sin abiding in us, living in us, when we are in Him and we wear Him? So when Christ speaks in these terms in verses 23 and 24, this is our next move, to examine yourself critically. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him. And we will make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You know, examining ourselves critically is not a popular idea in our culture. People say, well, you're only human when you try to deal with your sin or you confess your sin. It's driven me nuts when I deal with my children in a situation where they've sinned and I send them to someone to apologize and to ask for forgiveness. The thing that drives me nuts is when the person says, "Nah, it's okay." No, it's not. Sin is not okay. And I hate when I have to stop when my children are apologizing and giving repentance and they can say, "They said it's okay." You have to say, "No." And you have to correct an adult at that point and remind them that sin is never okay. Sin is never okay. And we can't look at our lives and look at our own lives, and we do that. We look at our lives and we say, "Our sin's okay." I knew a deacon in one church, he would blow off any sin and say, that's just human nature. And you have to say, yes, that is human nature, and it's not okay. We look at our lives, and Jesus is here saying, if you don't keep my commandments, you're not loving me. You're not loving me. And when we deal with one another, we have to deal with that reality. When you see me not keeping God's commandment, you have an obligation to come to me and speak to me and say, "Look, you're not loving God." I have an obligation to you, when you are sinning, to say, "Look, you're not loving God." These commandments are given to us and they are life to us. Galatians 5:15 through 21 speaks of the work the Holy Spirit does living in us. "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." He warns us. He warns us that these things are of the flesh and that these things are death. So as we examine our lives, as we examine who we are and the things that we do so in the light of Scripture. Now 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Pay close attention to yourself." You know, we've all seen people who don't pay close attention to themselves. I have a cousin, and my cousin enjoys walking down the street and acting like he's not paying attention, and he likes walking into street signs. And it's a good effect. There's a nice big bong when his head hits this street sign. And he does it just to see what people will do. And he acts like he's not paying attention. Well, there are people in life who don't pay attention to anything. They don't pay attention to their lives. They don't carefully critique themselves. They don't pay attention to their doctrine. And they just walk around wreaking havoc for their own hearts and the hearts of everyone that love them. But here God says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear. 2 John 1:8 through 9 says, "Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son." So we're put in a place where we have to pay attention to ourselves. We're put in a place where we have to critique ourselves. And that's for each sphere of our lives. Children, look and see how you honor your father and your mother. Husbands, look and see how you love your wives and how you bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Wives, look and see how you respect your husbands. You who are single, look and see. Make certain that Christ is your first love and that you hold Him fast above all else. You see, we're put in a place to look at our lives and to examine it. To look at yourself and examine yourself. And where do we go when we find our sin? What is our answer? I point you to 1 John 1:9, where he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This message is a message of hope, a message of encouragement, that we'll walk in truth. Our next step, it's 8 on your outline. Look to the Scriptures for your map. And we touched on this idea this morning, and we go back to John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And we have the benefit of this in the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us and show us directly how to walk and how to live. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says this, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." We would also look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and useful for instruction, for teaching, for training in righteousness, that the man of God will be equipped for every good work." You see, this word that is given to us is our map. I hate getting lost. I hate getting lost. I hate it desperately. I'm a man who wants to accomplish what I have to accomplish, and I want to do it in a very timely fashion. And I find few things more wasteful than driving around and not knowing where I am. And I hear women talk about men who won't ask for directions. I promise you, I am not one of those men. I will stop and I will go to a stranger's house and I will knock on their door because I want to know where I am and I want to know how to get where I need to get. The Scripture is exactly that for you. It's exactly that for you. It is exactly that map to tell you exactly where you are and how to get to where you need to be. This is why the Holy Spirit is that helper. This is why the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles to remember everything that Jesus had said. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent to the prophets to speak the will and the mind of Christ, that you and I would know exactly what He wants from us and how He would direct us. Now, our ninth step. Remember that you don't know yourself, but God does. Now, this is something that I am just now coming to realize and to understand. We imagine that we know ourselves. We imagine that we know what is best for ourselves. But you do not know yourself the way that God does. We may look at Scripture and shrug and ask, why would He say that? Why would He say that to me? Why would He say that all mankind, their throat is an open grave? Why would He say under their tongue is the venom of asps? Why would He say that? Why would He say that there is no one who seeks after God when we would look at ourselves and say, well, clearly I seek after God. Why would He say there is no one good when we would look at ourselves and say, clearly, I am good? Hear these passages and hear this is why. This is why I say, you don't know yourself, but God does. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. How much have you actually searched yourself? You know, in the communion season, we have these preparatory services, and the hopeful expectation is that we would come to these, and also that we would be examining ourselves in the time leading up to the communion season. That we would be looking at our relationships. But here it says that God has searched you. I think of my mind as a filing cabinet sometimes. That I've got all these file folders, and when I can't remember something, I'll just go ahead and sleep on it. When I sleep on it, somehow something processes in there, and the right file folder is pulled out, and the next day I'll be able to remember what I was searching for. Or we might just have a conversation. I say, I don't remember now, but I will in a minute, and that right file folder comes up. God has gone through every file folder in your brain. He knows everything. Everything in you. Every thought that you've ever had. Every thought that you ever will have. You have searched me and known me. He knows you. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. Psalm 139, verses 5 through 6. You have enclosed me behind and before. You laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. He knows you. He knows you. And when you look at the Word is telling you. It is the voice of God, the voice of His Spirit, telling you exactly what you need. And at this point, I'm going to caution you about the counsel you take from people. Are they directing you in accordance with God's Word? When you go to them for counsel, do they speak Scripture and reality to you? If they do, do you listen? Do you take it? You see, this is all a part of walking in God's Holy Spirit. All a part of walking in truth. Receiving what He has said, receiving what the Helper has given. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart." It amazes me that it judges the intents of the heart. I can have the best intentions in the world, or imagine that I do, but I don't. And the Word is able to judge that. And we see that in our lives as we would justify this activity or justify that activity. Say, it doesn't seem to line up with Scripture, but I can do it because of these things. The Word judges the intents of your heart when your actions don't line up with Scripture. They don't line up with the Holy Spirit. And here's a dangerous place to be and a dangerous place to live. I had a falling out with a pastor because he said he would say that the Holy Spirit directed him to do something. And what he said the Holy Spirit directed him to do would not line up with Scripture. And I challenged him. I said, "You can't say that. You can never say that the Holy Spirit would have you do something contrary to Scripture." And the place that he came to, he said, "Micah, do you place the Scripture above the Holy Spirit?" He said, "No, I do not, because the Scripture is the voice of the Holy Spirit." But he was in a place where if he felt led to do something, it trumped the Bible. He would say the Holy Spirit told him to do something, and that trumps Scripture. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because the Scripture is the voice of the Holy Spirit. God never changes. God never lies. And so for us, for you, what it means to demonstrate your love for Christ is to walk in the Spirit. And what does walking in the Spirit mean? But to walk in the Scripture. To make it your standard for life. And this is your demonstration of love for Christ Jesus. Give yourselves to this reality. Give yourselves to what God has said. Give yourselves to this loving obedience. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You again for what You say. Give us hearts to examine ourselves critically, to examine our steps, and to turn our foot to Your testimonies. That You will be glorified in the ways that we live, in the ways that we love. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is